Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Greetings, wide world. We're deep into the Daughter of God cast with me, Dan Kelly, writer, director, and maybe much more. This is the story of the making of the featurette Daughter of God, all about making movies generally, and becoming magic, and digging this wild ride around the sun and into the future aboard the beautiful planet Earth, together. Most of us have no idea we're wandering in the deep empty, destination unknown. Probably better that way. It'll be a bigger surprise when we arrive. Episode 014, Why Make Movies? I am lucky to have very strong and serviceable feet. I've walked up canyons and down mountains, swam across lakes, and danced for hours in the moonlight. How silly I might be to think of my feet as components, like the shoes I wear, for I am my feet. That which I am feels like feet. I feel the blood moving in my feet. Not a booming throbbing like I have in my abdomen or chest. More like easy waves on a beach, a gentle surge and then receding. This would make sense, as the feet and hands are extremities, at the end of the long hoses connected to the heart. That steady drum in my personal percussive ensemble. Just take a moment and check out the feelings of your feet. Pull off your shoes and socks and have a look at your feet, or if you're driving, then keep your eyes on the road while noticing your feet on the pedals, their weight, and how sweetly you're connected to the vehicle you're in, through your feet and your hands on the steering wheel. How is it that we can extend our awareness into steel and rubber and be one with a car? These are all clues, should we dare to follow them. I'm telling a little story about feet. I can't help myself. Is there a plot, a hero, a quest? Maybe just inviting you, the audience, to think about feet is enough. Hey, imagine. That's the smallest story we can tell. Feet are incredible and forgotten. I run barefoot on trails, and so I know something about excellent feet and what they are capable of. I think the most I've ever run barefoot is 18 miles on a combination of trails and beaches. So I didn't get this next bit from Wikipedia, unless I'm lying, and I might not be. Feet are optimized to make the most of terrain. If I step up on a tree branch across a trail, the shape of my foot changes, wrapping around the cylindrical shape of the branch. If the branch is thin, I receive how much energy the branch absorbs from my weight, and I adjust to leverage the branch's rebound when I push off. There are roots on the trail, and rocks. I was worried about these when I first tried running barefoot, but it turns out feet are smart and know where to go. They just know. Yes, I've tripped and stepped on pointy things over the 30 years of running barefoot, but that's been rare. Again, I'm talking about running here, not jogging. Things are whipping by rather quickly. Is it possible to even see all the tiny details of happy foot placement on the trail? My sense is that I'm not so much seeing with my eyes as I'm seeing with my feet. Running barefoot was my first clue that there might be senses beyond the five I was told about in school. A couple of years into Daughter of God's production, I solo camped on North Manitou Island for about a week, which I've done many times around my birthday. There's a 5-mile hike from the dock to my favorite campsites, and along with my tent, sleeping bag, clothes, and yummy food, I had brought a camera, tripod, and light gear to get footage for the post-apocalyptic universe. One day I'd taken a hike with just some water, snacks, and the camera. I was deep in the forest heading back to camp, and the sun was setting. I decided to play a game. I told myself, these woods are full of trolls. They don't come out until after sunset. Of course, the woods get dark sooner, but as long as I'm out of the forest by sunset, I'll be fine. What an epic hike. Psyching myself up with the idea of trolls and time running out, the enchanted forest full of danger. I started making contingency plans for what might happen if I was still traveling in the forest at dusk, climb a tree, or quick, fashion some sort of weapon, all the while striding mightily along the path toward the sparkling glow of the departing sun. I emerged from the woods with a little light left and across the wide fields to my camp by the big lake, not a moment to spare. This little fantasy colored the rest of my stay. Playing in and around the forest, I noticed I was more vigilant and often thought about the trolls, careful to be clear of the shadowed trees before sunset. By the end of the trip, I'd eaten almost all the food, but my pack was still rather heavy. I'd guess upwards of 70 pounds. The ferry back to the mainland was due in at 10 a.m. the next morning, and I set my alarm to be up and out at dawn for the 5-mile hike back. Oh, so sad. I wanted to sneeze, but I couldn't. I awoke at 2 a.m. and couldn't fall back to sleep. I decided, what the heck, I'll just pack and head out and nap by the boat dock. Up and packed across the fields with flashlight bobbing, and as I approached the forest, I remembered. Oh no, the trolls. I had forgotten about the trolls. The forest must be full of trolls right now. I wasn't about to sit at the edge of the forest for hours waiting for first light. There must be another way. I reckoned that I might be able to sneak by the trolls if I didn't attract attention to myself. I mean, what kind of damn fool human would be walking through a forest full of trolls in the middle of the night? That's the last thing they'd expect. As long as I wasn't shining a flashlight all over the place and I kept quiet, I would be invisible. Trolls' sense of smell is notoriously poor, but they are drawn to light like bugs. The night was also moonless, so the forest would be pitch black. I played with clenching my fist around my little mag light so I could completely block the beam, and then spread my fingers slightly to allow a faint red glow of light through flesh. After a while, I realized I could navigate by the starlight through the trees and the feel of the ground. I switched off the maglight and kept a steady pace, slightly elated at the easy flow of hiking blind. Then I stumbled slightly and gently went down, turning to land on the heavy pack. I lay still, listening for trolls. Nothing. Evidently, I hadn't been heard, so I got back to my feet and moved on. My senses were heightened. This little stumble had raised the stakes. I couldn't fall again. A big tumble with a heavy pack would certainly be a noisy affair that trolls would not miss. And I might get hurt and be unable to defend myself. I cruised along, steady, for another 20 minutes, and then without any decision, my pace started to slow, and then I stopped. I didn't know why. I wasn't tired. I wasn't needing water. I just stopped. I'm like, okay. Keep in mind, the forest is totally dark all around me. I can see stars through the canopy, but the trail isn't visible. I know where to put my feet because the earth feels different on the center of the trail than it does on the edges. Forward, very gradually, an inch, two, and at 3 inches, I felt a thick, horizontal barrier pressing against my thighs. A fallen tree. This hadn't been here the last time I'd passed. There had been no big trees across the trail before. This must have fallen in the last day or two. And my body knew it was there. Had I hit the tree at speed, the momentum of the backpack would have certainly carried me right over, and I probably would have done myself some serious damage. My feelings at this moment were of awe. How did I know that tree was there? This was a new sense, a proximity sense, real as taste, smell, sight. Alan Watts opines that all senses are extensions of the sense of touch. Photons impact the retina. Sound waves vibrate the eardrums. Molecules make contact with the tongue and olfactory epithelium. What sort of touch is this? Was there a cloud of tree smell? Does the skin's receptivity extend several feet beyond the cells? This is only anecdotal. I'm not suggesting this is proof of anything. My experience suggests that our elementary school concept of human senses is only a starting point. I was pretending and found something important. I was being weird, curious, playful. I discovered more of myself. I went shopping yesterday and walked through big box stores across parking lots, and the most unusual surface my feet encountered was a 4-inch curb. That's the world we've created, a comfortable box where everything is flat. There's nothing for feet to wrap around or rebound off of, and everything is starkly lit by glaring fluorescent light. I mean, that's fine. There's games to play there, too. Once, I tried to walk from Bed Bath & Beyond in Traverse City to the YMCA, across wetlands and a huge field in the snow. This wasn't easy. Nature is waiting for her chance to make the straight ways crooked and the flat places hilly. We can thrive amidst a lovely chaos, yet the prominent culture tries so hard to scrub away the mystery and miracles and replace everything with plastic. In episode 013, I upgraded the why behind this podcast. My original why was to grow an audience for Daughter of God, but that's not a very compelling reason for an audience to show up, and it's pretty abstract for me. Trying to be something the audience wants, that's the road to mediocrity. Back in episode 002, I talked about my juried art show tour in 2003. There, I met a woman who was a very talented painter and a savvy business person. We got to talking, and she invited me back to her booth. Inside were literally hundreds of nearly identical paintings of a palm tree. She had found an image that sold, and so she painted this image over and over and over, with slight variations. I was appalled, flabbergasted. I flashed on myself, glued to one popular idea, the perfect consumer bungee pit that would end my career as an artist, as an explorer. So a big audience is not a helpful objective, but the natural result of a why that I feel inspired by. Well, how about having fun? I was a little overwhelmed with episode 012, trying to populate the video version with outtakes and whatnot, and I woke up one morning and said to myself, this is too stressful. We can always flesh out the video later. Let's just call it good and keep moving. So fun is crucial, but that's also a natural result of inspiration and keeping things chill. So what is the why? Why did I want to make Daughter of God? After seeing all those other movies at the Palm Springs Shorts Festival, I wanted to make movies too. I had held myself back for years, and now I was ready. As Daughter of God has progressed, more reasons for movie making have emerged. So why do I want to make movies? Answering this question drives this podcast. In the episodes to come, I'm going to discuss the why of movie making and the nuts and bolts of making them my way. Sure, I'm going to borrow from what's been done before, but I'm definitely innovating. I'm doing things that are unique to me and freaking genius. As my first featurette, Daughter of God is a proof of concept, a way to demonstrate my ideas and approach. So let's get started right away. Why do I want to make movies? I want to do it all. It's easy for me to find almost anything interesting. I know now this is a way more common feeling than I first realized, but tough for folks to admit. we often feel discouraged from diversity. You can talk about that in terms of skin color, religion, and culture, but what I mean is just what we let ourselves be interested in and what we decide is boring. I think curiosity is powerful. Curiosity also killed the cat. Is that Schrodinger's cat? Wikipedia says yes, and that this modern maxim didn't appear until the late 1870s, which says something about changing attitudes. Before curiosity was care. Care killed the cat. Or worry. That was first used in the 1500s. Two very different ideas. Why did curiosity become problematic in the late 1800s? How about this one? Jack of all trades, master of none. This also has an intriguing history. Jack of all trades came first and was complementary. Master of none was added later. A disparaging quasi-Latin phrase, Johannes Factotum, or Johnny Do-It-All, was applied to Shakespeare in 1592 by Robert Greene. A pillar of Western culture chastised for doing too many things. Love that. This is superficial Wikipedia research, and who knows what Wikipedia's slant is, what axe they are grinding, if any. Other cultures have this notion of too many trades also. Arabic. Who does several trades is incapable of managing any. And Chinese, equipped with knives all over, yet none is sharp. There's the Western concept of the Renaissance man who could paint, sculpt, engineer, write, and design like Da Vinci and Michelangelo. These guys were geniuses, supposedly, uncommon. Maybe they just didn't hold themselves back. Maybe the special sauce that distinguishes a supposed genius from a lathe operator is just expectation of what's possible. Lathe operation looks like a lot of fun, by the way, but that's just me. What intrigues me most about making movies is that I'm required to use every freaking resource and talent I have. I not only get to apply my curiosity, I have to. Painting, acting, writing, storytelling, narration, construction, sculpting, music making, props, design, distribution, investment, bookkeeping, archives, direction, management, problem solving. The resources and chutzpah required to make movies is vast. So if there's any possibility of going beyond accepted limits, that's not only intriguing, it's pretty much imperative. Marvel makes movies about superheroes. I want to make movies that demonstrate how to be fully alive. The log incident in the Troll Forest was a clear indication that there is way more available to every human being. The experiences I described aren't reserved for elite gurus. We can all shine. Magic is real. Specifically, if you're a human being, you are walking around as the highest technological achievement on the planet. You generate more energy than a wind tower. You can persist just by eating leaves. You are the most efficient solar collector yet developed. Your presence is an utter mystery. Science has only just begun to hint at what we are. There are avenues of exploration into your power that science is as yet not allowed to take, but no one is stopping you. Science can be your starting place. Einstein again. Imagination is more important than knowledge. They're both fabulous, but one flows from the other. I am making movies to discover our nature and trust the fuzzy experiences like intuition and inspiration, which are the signatures of our full presence. A celebration of both inner nature and outer nature, too. The Earth is a global life support system. The untouched wilds are fundamental to operations. I want to make movies that restore and expand our outer nature. I'm not about making propaganda, influencing people to think this way or that. What I want is to remind audiences of what they already know, but might have forgotten. How to be alive. One last story about that night in the forest full of trolls. After swinging my legs over the big log, I moved through the pitch black, trusting my body and the cosmos. Ever wary for trolls, I caught a faint glow. Almost hallucinatory, a fuzzy purple cloud hovering. As I moved forward, I blinked, and yet the odd color persisted. not quite solid. I was like, fuck. My imagination is so powerful, I've manifested an actuality. I've brought forth who knows what. Perhaps a phantom or a will-o'-the-wisp. The Dungeons & Dragons Monster Manual, 4th edition, 1979, has this to say about will-o'-the-wisps. A will-o'-the-wisp is a glowing sphere, looking like a lantern, torch, or even dancing light. They glow blue, violet, or pale green. Will-o'-the-wisps commonly haunt deserted, dangerous places such as bogs, fens, and swamps, or catacombs where mires, quicksand, pit traps, and the like are plentiful. Will-o'-the-wisps seek to lure prey to their doom. I approached the hazy, violet light. There was definitely light, no question. My eyes were totally dark adapted. My irises fully dilated to grab every last photon. I turn my head to look sidelong and bring my sensitive rods into play. Some thing glowing. Close now. A scattering of purple streaks and dots. I reached out and my hand touched a log, roughly textured. Clenching the maglite in my fist once again, I spread my finger slightly and played a bit of white light on the log. Mushrooms. I was seeing bioluminescent fungus. I turned off the light and there they were, eerily sending out their mysterious signal. For who or what, I wonder, were they shining in the night? For me? What a gift. Had I passed this way, armed to the teeth against trolls, with a phalanx of men-at-arms and blazing torches, I would have totally missed this wonder. How many others would see what I've seen in my lifetime? How many others understand the power of play? You've been listening to the Daughter of Godcast podcast, episode 014 with Dan Kelly, writer and director, all about the wise. We've been rubbing two sticks together, and at last, a little plume of smoke curls up from the tinder. Ready for a crackling blaze? We're going to burn down preconceptions and awaken the tribe's deep knowing. Sure glad you're circled up for the ceremony, ready to sweat, and see with me for the very first time. What happens next is anyone's guess, but it's going to be so fine. This is an exercise for the voice. You know, I think about doing... If I think about doing exercises and being very adept and agile with my body, well, isn't my voice part of my body? Isn't being able to speak clearly and with potency, isn't that part of the physicality that I'd like to have?